From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 5th day of May, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll discuss the agricultural energy sector with Harry Cooney out of Growmark in Bloomington, Illinois. And Don Day will be here from Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming to discuss the weather forecast. We'll check in with yesterday's USDA weekly crop progress report and get updates from the statisticians across the Midwest. And I'll remind you that a couple of times a year and only a couple of days this spring, this is the second one of them and the last one, we'll ask you to pledge your financial support to Illinois Public Media and the agricultural programming that comes to you from WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago. May corn today up 2.25, finished at $3.13, the settlement price. July at $3.17, up 1.5. And December corn 1/4 higher at $3.34 and 1/4. Next year's March at $3.47 and 1/2, down 0.25 cents. May soybeans up 4.25, settlement at $8.38 and 1/4. July 8.39 and 1/2, up 3. November beans at $8.46 and 1/2, up 3/4. And January unchanged at $8.49 and 1/2. The bean oil up 17 cents. Bean meal, $1.50 higher for the day. July soft red winter wheat at $5.20 and 3/4, up 1 1/4. The hard red July at $4.84, down 3 cents. And we'll do the September spring wheat just because that's reported by USDA in the weekly crop progress numbers at $5.20 and 1/4, up 1 cent for the day. Live cattle futures in the June, down $1.60 at $86.47 and 1/2, August $92.45, 60 cents lower for 100 pounds, and feeder cattle up 52 1/2 in the lead May at 119.60. August at 128.25, down 72 1/2 cents. Lean hogs, $66.15 in the May, $1.57 and 1/2 cents lower. The June at $64.27 and 1/2, down $1.22 and 1/2 cents. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities now joins us to take a look at what's been happening in the marketplace. How are things in Crawfordsville, Indiana today, Wayne?
Well, they're a little damp, but, you know, we've made some real good progress over here. Most of the farmers got over half their corn in and, you know, very close to that in their soybeans. So, you know, we're very happy and things are moving along.
What moved things in Chicago today?
Well, the crude oil went to 3-week high. That was a good little move out. We went down and we sort of had a little bit of a turnaround Tuesday, you know, bringing stuff back a little bit. The crop progress, you know, was very good, but the weather's looking like this will be a little bit slower week as far as going on. But I think also the export sales to China basically have helped quite a bit over downswings over the last 2 days. So that, along with just a little bit of optimism, I guess, not a lot of long-range optimism because, you know, we are seeing a lot of rain in the Black Sea area.
USDA next week on Tuesday will release the monthly WASD, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. It's the first time this year that USDA will have an official estimate for the new crop corn and soybeans, or that which is being put into the ground at this time. They're likely to use, I suppose, the 97 million acres. What are your expectations?
Oh, you know, the corn numbers have to be big. I mean, the bean numbers, they're going to continue to look a little bit more favorable, especially if we can see some Chinese buying. We have to see the Chinese keep coming in like that. But the corn, Todd, we could see the ending stock swell to about 3 billion bushel. I mean, it's you know, because we don't know what the livestock numbers will be because of the backup here. We're seeing less cattle being placed on feed, probably some less hogs for the feed usage. And then if we take the cut back in ethanol production, that could really hurt us and really push those numbers up high, especially then, like I say. But we don't think that we'll have the 97 million acres when we get down to the fall.
So coronavirus is just having a huge impact across the ag sector because it's, the primary usage numbers for corn in particular, ethanol and feed, are being impacted directly each and every day that society is not moving around.
Yeah, it really does, Todd. I mean, we've got to see some people get back to driving. And, you know, if we're not driving, we're not using the crude oil. But we have heard and looking here along the way, we're just as we are starting to come back into things, that we're using 2.5 million more barrels a day from when what the low got down to. And the oil demand has increased at 2.5 million barrels a day. So that's why we're seeing a little bit increase here with the cutbacks that everybody's having. And let's remember, we've got to get these numbers up. They don't have to say that we'll try to comply with everybody on the cutbacks, because our oil wells are shutting down fast as could be. A lot of them are not producing. And it takes just about $40 for a lot of the shale wells to be profitable. And they won't come back online until we get up over $35.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. You know, a couple of times a year we come to you and ask for your financial support. I know it's tough out there right now. I know you're busy. I know that times are really rough, especially in the agricultural sector and all sectors of society at this point. But if you can, I'd like you to make a pledge of financial support to Illinois Public Media in support of ag programming. You can do that pretty quickly and easily online at willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org, or you can dial this number, 217-244-9455. Here's the cool thing about today. And we only do this a couple of times a year. Today, particularly, is really nice because some of our friends have said, if you donate a dollar, they'll donate a dollar. That's right. For every dollar you donate, it gets doubled. We get another dollar. So right now is a great time to make that pledge in support of ag programming. Don't hesitate. 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Again, that's 217-244-9455. Tell the person on the other end that you're pledging in support of agriculture, or if you're signing up at willpledge.org, make sure you put in support of agriculture in the comments section, and thank you. Yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows corn now 51% planted and soybeans at the 23% seeded level across the nation. They're both well ahead of the five-year averages. Corn is 8% emerged, and that's 2% behind average. The winter wheat crop is 55% in the good to excellent category, up 1% from last week. And when it comes to the wheat, the greatest concern is slow planting progress of the spring wheat, where just 29% of that crop is in the ground compared to 43% on this date normally. Now let's check in with the state statisticians from across the Midwest.
This is Melissa Couch for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. There were 6.1 days suitable for field work during the week ending May 3, 2020. Warm, dry weather allowed Iowa farmers to advance planting well ahead of normal. Topsoil moisture levels rated 3% very short, 16% short, 78% adequate, and 3% surplus. Iowa farmers planted 39% of the expected corn crop during the week ending May 3. Although great progress was made, in 2015, Iowa farmers were able to plant 54% of their corn crop during the same week. This is the first time since 2010 that at least 3/4 of the corn crop has been in the ground by May 3. 46% of the soybean crop has been planted, a full month ahead of last year and over 2 weeks ahead of the five-year average. This is the highest proportion of the soybean crop planted by May 3 since records began in 1974. Farmers were able to plant over 1/3 of the expected soybean crop during the week ending May 3. Only 6% of Iowa's expected oat crop remains to be planted, with 54% of the oat crop emerged. Pasture condition rated 65% good to excellent. Pastures and hay fields are greening up. Cattle movement to pastures increased this week. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week brought a mixed bag of weather and field conditions around the Prairie State. There was an average of only 2.7 days suitable for field work, and farmers were able to make progress planting corn and soybeans, as well as completing other field work tasks. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 2% short, 72% adequate, and 26% surplus. Average rainfall around Illinois was 1.6 3 inches, and that was more than 1/2 inch above normal. Central parts of the state were generally wetter than the rest of Illinois. Temperatures averaged 58 degrees and ranged from near normal to 3 degrees above normal for this time of year. Soil temperatures on Sunday ranged from the lower 50s in northern Illinois to the mid-60s in southern parts of the state. Corn planting advanced and is now 56% finished. That compares to 10% 1 year ago and 54% for the 5-year average. 9% of corn acres have emerged. Soybean planting moved ahead to 31% finished, well ahead of last year's 3% and the 5-year average of 12%. 2% of soybean acres have emerged. The winter wheat crop is now 20% headed, compared to 7% 1 year ago and 28% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 5% very poor, 6% poor, 21% fair, 52% good, and 16% excellent. That is better than last week and considerably better than 1 year ago. Pasture conditions were rated 3% poor, 28% fair, and 69% good to excellent. That is nearly unchanged from last week, but better than 1 year ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with a weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending May 3, 2020. Excellent weather conditions aided Minnesota's rapid crop planting progress. There were 5.2 days suitable for fieldwork statewide during the week, the most days during this particular week since 2015, 6.1 days. Other field activities included tilling and fertilizer application. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 0% very short, 11% short, 78% adequate, and 11% surplus. 36% of the state's corn acreage was planted during the week, leading to a total of 76% of the crop in the ground. This is 1 month ahead of last year and 2 weeks ahead of the 5-year average pace. 3% of the corn acreage has emerged. 35% of the soybean acreage has been planted, the most planted by this date since estimates began in 1963, and that's also slightly above the 2015's 32%. Spring wheat planting was 21% complete, that's 6 days ahead of last year but 2 weeks behind average. 4% of the spring wheat has emerged. 62% of the old crop planting progress was complete, that's 5 days ahead of average. 35% of the old crop has emerged. Barley was 24% planted, with 10% emerged. There were reports of slow pasture growth in northwestern Minnesota while pastures turned green elsewhere in the state. Pasture conditions were rated 1% very poor, 9% poor, 23% fair, 57% good, and 10% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. The weather forecast is next. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. What do you see, Don?
The big story is going to be the unseasonably cold air heading into the nation's midsection late this week, this weekend, and into early next week. We could have up to 3, maybe 4 nights across the upper Midwest and the Great Lakes and parts of the northern and eastern Corn Belt where temperatures could go below freezing. Friday night, Saturday night, and then Monday night and Tuesday nights of next week, those are the nights that temperatures will be the coldest. Temperatures could go near to below freezing as far south as southern Ohio and southern Indiana, central and northeastern Illinois, with those nights we mentioned earlier. So be ready for some unseasonably cold weather. Don't be surprised if there are reports of snow across portions of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, parts of New England, with many record temperatures in jeopardy being tied or broken. Now, we should see the cold easing by mid to late next week as the cold air begins to shift east, but this will be quite the extended period of cold weather for the nation's heartland, Corn Belt, Midwest, and East.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, which reminds me, have you dialed in yet? I hope so. But if not, 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support to willag.org, or you can go online at willpledge.org. Either way, in the comments section, or just tell the person you're talking to that you're calling and pledging in support of agriculture. Each Tuesday, we talk about the agricultural energies along with the panelists. This week, it's Harry Cooney from GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd, on this kind of overcast, drizzly, dreary Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the market has for quite some time. Although, when you look at the screens, crude oil is up pretty sharply today. Let's start there. What's with that $4 move?
Well, crude oil and the energy products, meaning gasoline, diesel fuel, and even into the propane here today, the markets are bouncing back. There's some thinking in the trade that demand is coming back as certain areas of the country are beginning to open up and for business, that is, open up for business. There's been some vehicle travel reports in gasoline that would suggest that, gasoline demand starting to pick up a little bit again. Not coming from on the diesel side, the over-the-road trucking industry has been running pretty good all through this. Now, of course, the airline jet fuel demand is still very weak. But, so the strength here today is based on the thoughts that tomorrow's report could show some increases in demand. And so that's kind of what's fueling some of the gains. Also, strength in the outside markets, outside of energies, meaning the equity markets up today pretty good. And so it's just kind of a little bit of a up day in a number of these markets that we're looking at.
So ethanol is worth, what, a dollar and a nickel, and RBOB around 90 cents. What do you make of those two, and what difference does it make in the spread?
Yeah, I mean, as the gasoline price collapsed there, ethanol came down also, and obviously, that's the big tie-in to corn demand, you know, or 5 billion bushels. I mean, you guys have talked about it on the radio a number of times. So gasoline prices coming back up. What's interesting to note in gasoline prices while we were there, gasoline futures have actually almost doubled now from the low. In fact, the lead month actually hit a low just under 40 cents a gallon back in late March, and today traded as high as just over 90 cents a gallon. So from the low to the high, that market's actually already doubled. It's just incredible to think that, how could it have already doubled? But it has.
So you have any reason why it's doubled?
Well, because I think the thoughts of the demand are hitting all these markets, gasoline and diesel fuel. Hitting both markets here, the thoughts that demand is coming back as they're reopening some of the areas of the country and other areas thought that they'll probably be opening over the next month or so here. And, of course, when you're working with the futures market, it's trying to anticipate the future. And so I think that's the main thing it's looking at. I don't think it's coming from the supply side as much. I think it's coming from thoughts of the demand of the market.
You know, there's been some news about those 18 tankers that were loaded in Saudi Arabia and are in a lineup headed towards the Gulf Coast, I think, primarily. Any reason that that's way outside the norm? I know they were loaded with really cheap crude oil at the time. And does that have an impact, or is it something the market's already absorbed?
Well, those are some of those, and I think I know the ones you're talking about, some of those were already factored into the market here over the past month. And that's one of the reasons why crude oil got so darn low there several weeks ago. And it kind of probably the market washed itself out a little too much to the downside as that May contract got ready to expire. It really got washed out to the downside. And so now it's popping back. My guess is it's probably getting a little overly excited on upside here. And with those crude supplies coming to hit the U.S. Gulf Coast probably in May and June, again, probably crude oil is probably getting a little overly anxious here on the upside today. That'd be my guess.
You mentioned that trucks were continuing to move and diesel fuel was moving through the supply lines pretty easily. What's your forecast for it?
Well, diesel fuel has obviously had a rally also. At the same time, gasoline has. It's going to take some time to get all the demand back. I mean, it might be months, many months, could even be a year or so before we really get back to pre-demand levels, including the jet fuel and all that. So I think that these markets will probably stay at some low levels, albeit though there'll be rallies to be had. Definitely it's giving the end user, though, any end users, as I've told in your program before, any end users that didn't lock in some prices for, let's say, fall delivery here over the past several months, these opportunities are presented out there still, even though the market's come up some, it's still far less than you would have contracted in most years.
Anything that we should be discussing as it relates to propane and fall usage?
Well, propane started to come up some also, and if you don't have any propane locked in for fall, you probably want to at least talk to your local FS member cooperative about the programs they offer, because even though there's a lot of propane sitting around now, there's a back-end result of the refineries being slowed down because of all the supply in the liquid fuel. And some of that production off the refineries comes in and comes for propane production. About 25 or 30% of the propane production comes off the refineries. And so even though we have adequate supplies now of propane, by fall and winter, those supplies may not be as adequate. So these prices are not too bad. I still talk to end users about making sure if they don't have anything locked in there also, take a look at it.
Hey, Harry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, and that means you're involved with us financially. Or at least if you're not, we hope you will be soon. And if you decide to do that today, dollar for dollar match. That's right. For every dollar you donate to WILL Ag today, it'll be matched. So please take time right now and dial this number, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL, or go online to willpledge.org, willpledge.org, and make your pledge in support of the agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Now, when you call somebody at 217-244-9455 to make that pledge, make sure that you tell them you're pledging in support of agriculture. Do the same if you're on the willpledge.org website in the comments section. Just write down in support of agriculture. That's important for me, and it's important for you too. And thank you. I know it's a very, very tough time and that you're also very, very busy. I appreciate the fact that you are picking up the phone or going online to make that pledge, and I thank you very much for doing so. You have a good afternoon.